You're in tune with AM 1470 WPAO, Farrell, Youngstown.
It's Friday, February the 6th. Welcome to Issues and Answers, a Biblical Perspective. Hi, I'm Jim Cunningham, your host, along with my co-host, Pastor Gary Roy. Stay tuned for our topic, Let's Reconsider Everything.
He is strong and mighty, who is like the Lord. He is worthy, stand up and give him the praise.
Good evening. This is Pastor Gary Roy with our host, Jen Cunningham, and we have an interesting show today, some interesting questions about a little bit of review of what we have been going over for the past couple months.
Hey, man, and we're happy to invite some of our friends in from the Warren area this evening and the surrounding area. We're back on full power again, and we hope that we have a new audience out there that may be interested in what the Bible has to say about UFOs and some many other subjects that are related to that. If you'd like to call in this evening and join us in this talk and give your opinions on what you think about UFOs and the many topics that we're going to raise, we invite you to do so, even starting now. Our phone number is 448-5061 if you're calling locally. For those out of the area, please call 1-330-448-5061 and share any opinions that you have on the UFO topic and related subject matter along with that. We're going to get into psychic healing. Can the devil heal? We want to talk about the New World Order. We want to talk about UFO abductions. Do you believe they're real? We want to know what you think about what the government knows about UFOs and whether they're doing anything to help us deal with that issue. And we were going to talk about what kind of people may be being abducted by UFOs. So if you're out there and have a viewpoint on any of these topics that I've raised up to this point, and there will be others, we invite you to call us at the number we just gave out, which is 448-5061, out of the area, 1-330-448-5061. So tonight we're just going to go through a whole list of issues that we have dealt with since back in the beginning of November. We want to try to rehearse as much as we can for those that are just joining us. We invite you to listen closely and try to catch up with all the issues that we're going to try to address. Tonight, one of the first things I want to ask you is this, and simply I hope I can get a response from you, and until we do, we'll tell you what we believe about UFOs. But the first topic I want to address this evening is, what does the Bible say about UFOs? And if you're out there and you feel the Bible has nothing to say about UFOs, I'd love to hear the reason you believe that. Also, I'm going to begin to share with you that I believe that the Bible has a great deal to say about UFOs, only I think that the vocabulary that the writers used in the Old Testament and the New, they describe something in a much different way than you and I would describe it today. So in the Old Testament, one of the first accounts that the Bible seems to imply a UFO was used in communicating with the patriarchs of the Old Testament was in Exodus 13:21, when the children of Israel were being led out of the land of Egypt into Cana, and they were going to cross the Red Sea. And one of the first things we see coming out of the heavenly regions was an object called a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. The scripture says that God was inside that object. Now, that right up front scares and annoys and even angers some people to imply that God Almighty would need such an object to move about from place to place. I cannot explain why that manifestation was there, but nevertheless, it would be, in today's vernacular, called a UFO. It was a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire at night. We are finding today, as we research this subject, that a number of modern-day UFO sightings do appear as pillar of cloud in the daytime and pillar of fires in the evening. There are a variety of these appearances, but that is one of the different types that does exist, has existed throughout history, and even up into modern times. So that's something we want to talk about tonight. Do you believe that God or his angels would need a UFO to go from place to place? We would love to have your response on that. And so the next event that talks about a UFO or what appears to be a UFO in the Old Testament is when Elijah was taken up to heaven in a pillar or in a chariot of fire and horses of fire when he was taken off alive from this planet. Elijah, we are told, never died. He was taken off of the planet in 2 Kings 2:11 in a chariot of fire. It was called a chariot in that incident, and the vocabulary was changed, a different term was used. And then we come up into another account in the account of Ezekiel chapter 1, and there's a very lengthy description of what Ezekiel called a wheel within the wheel and something that had human form that came out of it. So, have we got your interest with that little bit of information? If you have a quick response to that and would like to share with us, we invite you to do so now while Pastor Gary comes and contributes. My brother is the pastor of the First Assembly of God in Vianna, Ohio. He has agreed to come on and work with me on these issues dealing with paranormal material. We are finding more and more every day that many people in the church are even deeply involved in some of this stuff and don't understand what they're dealing with. And we're trying to raise the awareness of what's going on and give some explanation as to what we think it's all about. Pastor Gary has come on to bring a balance to this this study. He doesn't agree with everything I said, but even though I'm winning him over slowly but surely, but nevertheless, he's going to share his views on what he thinks about what the Bible says about UFOs. And I just encourage you to listen and call in and tell us what you think about what we're talking about at this point.
Perhaps your viewpoint is that God would not need some type of chariot, and I certainly tend to agree with that. Sometimes we use human characteristics to refer to God. We say that God has hands, he has eyes, we speak of his voice. Isaiah spoke of God to lend down his ear, to hear what he had to read to him. And this is what is called in the Bible, in theology, we anthropomorphize God, or we give God human characteristics. But think of it this way, that Jesus did come in the flesh. Jesus was God incarnate. There's a possibility of what Jim is talking about, that this is an interpretation there. Something to think about. But I have something for you to think about. Somebody approached me with something that has happened to them, a kind of a phenomena or a spiritual experience that while reclining in bed, this individual was kind of paralyzed, and they felt like there was an entity or a being, whether demonic or otherwise. If you've had an experience like this where you couldn't speak, where you couldn't move, would you call in tonight? The phone number is 448-5061. That's 448-5061. If you're out of the area in Pennsylvania, just add the 1 and 330-448-5061. If you've had an experience similar to this or like it, give us a call.
So there you have. There's a pastoral response, a limited pastoral response to that issue, and he's thrown something out for you to consider. Are you a Christian, and have you ever had a UFO encounter, and do you believe you are now presently in contact with heavenly creatures that may be related to what being commonly known as UFOs, UFO abductions, and the paranormal experience around that subject? Here's a piece of news that came out of the newspaper about a Harris poll that was taken back in 1996. It says that Harris poll said that since their last survey on these questions in 1996, the belief that there is intelligent life in space has increased to 59%. It used to be 50% back around 1991. And it goes on and says that there is intelligent life in space has increased to 59% from 53%. but belief in intelligent life in the solar system fell to 35% from 40%. So the polls tend to fluctuate, but the issue is it seems, and some believe, that we are being indoctrinated into this idea of the existence of life in outer space, and it's a very slow, mundane process that our government has chose to use to make us aware that we have in our midst a force that they don't know how to deal with. And one of the points of reference that I want to use to kind of back up that statement was a study that was done back in 1960, and it was instituted by our government, and it reads this way. In 1960, a report titled Proposed Studies on the Implications of Peaceful Space Activities for Human Affairs was delivered to the chairman of NASA's Committee on Long-Range Studies. The report was prepared under contract to NASA by the Brookings Institute, Washington, D.C. The report outlines the need to investigate the possible social consequences of an extraterrestrial discovery and to consider whether such a discovery should be kept from the public in order to avoid political change and possible devastating effects on the scientists themselves. And it just goes on, and they make recommendations in this report of what the government would need to do in the event that they find life in outer space or from outer space. And there were other studies conducted, and out of those studies it was determined that they would need to take about a 20 to 25 year length of time to indoctrinate the population of our country on this issue. And many people think that we are going through that indoctrination process right now. Now, don't get lost in what we're saying here. We're not out here selling some new theology, or at least I'm not trying to. Some people might accuse me of that. But we're basically trying to raise the awareness for people to consider the thought that perhaps that the angels of God may have a method and a means of doing things that we have not correctly understood up to this point. The message that they have brought us and the patriarchs has not changed. The need for Jesus Christ and the importance of Jesus Christ is still the same today as it has been from the beginning of creation. But nevertheless, as we approach the end of time, and some of the challenges that are going to be presented to us may come through one of these avenues concerning the UFO phenomena and life from outer space. The church has taken a stand on some of these issues in a very dogmatic fashion. And in light of that, it could create some real problems for us if what we have believed begins to be shattered and proof comes to the fore demonstrating that we have been incorrect in our understanding about the heavens being inhabited and other forms of life that exist throughout the cosmos. So we would love to have you respond to that. But to just kind of back up and demonstrate that there are a number of people who believe in UFOs, and most people that know about this topic know about Dr. Alan Hynek, who has now passed away. But I want to run a short clip from Dr. Alan Hynek, an audio clip, demonstrating his views on the results of his studies concerning UFOs. Listen closely to what Dr. Alan Hynek has to say.
The late Dr. J. Alan Hynek headed up the Air Force investigation into UFOs called Project Blue Book, and was acknowledged to be the world's foremost authority on UFOs. After amassing a computer bank of over 63,000 sightings, he states,
"The UFO phenomenon is truly a phenomenon of our times. It is an extremely puzzling one and calls forth a wide spectrum of opinions. No matter what one may think about UFOs, no matter what one may believe about them, whether it is all nonsense or whether they represent something very, very real, three facts stand out, three facts which no one can deny. First is that UFO reports exist. Secondly, that UFO reports come from all over the world. And the third is that many are made by highly responsible people, often scientifically trained. We scientists have no positive proof yet of the origin or even of the reality of these strange reported craft. But we do know that the reports themselves are very real. The find the answer to this magnificent scientific puzzle, the UFO phenomenon, we need to approach it with a truly open mind so we can explore all possible avenues of explanation.
Okay, that's Dr. J. Allen Hynek and his viewpoints on the UFO phenomena. He originally was chosen by the government to conduct a study on this. I think he was even involved in the Condon Report, which basically made light of UFOs. And later on in life, he came out and said he just couldn't deny the facts any longer. There was too much information that supported the concept that UFOs are real. Did you know that there is a law on the books that was put on the books in January 1 of 1990 that makes it against the law for anyone in this country to privately have correspondence with aliens from outer space? That, do you know that a law was introduced, Code of Federal Regulations, CFR 1211, is called the Extraterrestrial Exposure Law, and it deals with the scope, the definition, the authority, and the policy that NASA has over individuals that may come in contact with aliens. And they can actually incarcerate you, lock you up, deny you all constitutional privilege, according to, let me read some of the what the law says. Extraterrestrial exposure means the state or condition of any person, property, animal, or other form of life or matter whatsoever who or which has touched directly or come within the atmospheric envelope of any other celestial body. So there you have a portion of the law that deals with that subject. And I think we have a call. Okay, we got a call coming up, and we're going to speak with this individual shortly as soon as we push the right buttons. Hello.
Yes, I've got a question.
Yes, sir.
I wanted to find out about this. I just heard about the law enacted that says that they can incarcerate you for having contact with the aliens.
Yes.
I was wondering if you could go over that a little bit more. I've seen some sightings, and I'm not sure exactly what to believe, but I'm fascinated by your show. I listen every week.
Oh,
and,
good.
The first time I really had a chance to call, but I wanted to find out, when was this enacted? And I do not recall having been able as a people to voice our concern or our opposition or being for or against this legislative act at all.
Okay, the law was enacted, according to this document I have in front of me, in January 1 of 1990, and some of what it says, it gives definition as to who it affects and what an extraterrestrial is considered to be, and it goes down through a very lengthy, it goes several sections. There's a section called quarantine. It means the detention and examination and decontamination of any person, property, animal, or other form of life or matter, whatever, that is extraterrestrially exposed, and includes the apprehension or seizure of such person, property, animal, or other forms of life, or matter whatsoever. The quarantine period means a period of consecutive calendar days as may be established in accordance with Article 1211-104A. And it just goes on and it just describes all of the different authority that has been legislated by this particular law that was enacted. And it says NASA shall quarantine NASA astronauts and other NASA personnel as determined necessary in all NASA property involved in any space missions. It just goes on, and we know, we understand what their concept on that is. But it includes anybody within the framework of our country that would come in contact with life from outer space. They don't want you being the mediator. They want to deal with that. And I think I can relate and understand that, but most people don't even know that law exists.
And I'm glad you brought that up. It's a valuable program. But what I don't understand is they are seeming to officially recognize something that they don't officially recognize.
Yes, that is interesting. It's also interesting, I can add to that, we have another document here from the Fire Officer's Guide, Chapter 13. It's called Disaster Control and UFOs. It's a whole chapter that deals with what the fire departments of our country are supposed to do to deal with a UFO if one would happen to crash in their neighborhood. And they go into great detail as to it's inevitable, it's bound to happen someday. And like I say, it's chapter 13 of the Fire Officer's Guide. It's circulated throughout the country. It's a book. It's about 400 pages thick, I understand. I have the chapter here in front of me, and it just goes into great detail about what they're basically training our fire officers to deal with, because they feel that they will be the front line on this issue, that the fire department will be the first ones to respond to something like that.
Well, let me just say this. I wanted to thank both of you for having this type of a show. I think I'm the silent majority. I'm in my car. It's the first time I've had a chance to call, and I feel bad that I haven't called, but I hope you continue with this show, and I enjoy it. And I think there's a lot of people that listen to this program and maybe are like me, don't always call in, but I want to have you guys have hope, because I really enjoy it.
Okay, I really appreciate. We appreciate the call.
Thank you, sir.
Have a good day. So in light of what we've set up to this point, we're going to bring one more piece of information to you, and we're going to ask Pastor Gary to respond and share anything that's on his heart up to this point. But I want you to hear what astronaut Gordon Cooper had to say about his belief in UFOs.
About this incident you had in 1951, and you said you saw literally hundreds of unidentifiable flying objects.
Yes, they were flying quite high. How high, we couldn't tell, because we couldn't get anywhere near their altitude. But they were either very large craft way up, or smaller craft still well above what we could get to.
For a day and a half, all of this happened. But then no one wanted to talk about it.
Well, we sent a report forward on it, and the answer that finally came back months later was they were probably high-flying seed pods, which didn't sound very logical.
There are always a lot of excuses. There's always the weather balloons. I've heard that one before.
Oh, yeah. And weather balloons, frequently, by the way, are often mistaken for UFOs. I chased one time in an airplane, and boy, it really looked like a big saucer very high, and I had an afterburner going and got as high as I could get in this airplane, and as I started pulling up along close to it, I had a very shamefaced look on my face when I realized it was a big weather balloon with the radio package hanging under it.
But still, the point is that you could get close to that. In 1951, you couldn't even get close to the things that were flying overhead. You or anyone else that was flying.
They were faster, higher.
So there's a little bit of a piece of information. Astronaut Gordon Cooper said he believes in UFOs. He even chased them. This information has been around for several decades, but it's just now coming to the fore. And as I pointed out before, it seems that many people think we are now being indoctrinated, being prepared to believe in this subject. There have been a number of documents that have surfaced, accusations have been made, and counter-accusations and response have been made to those accusations. And it just keeps confusion afloat, it seems, and most people can't come to a consensus as to what's all going on. There's another study called the Iron Mountain Report that says the government, in light of their studies about UFOs and things, determined they might use that someday as a scare tactic to get the world to be willing to lay down their arms and come together as a one-world government and face an onslaught of an alien attack. Some people think we're being prepared for that right now, and it's all a hoax. Others believe that it's legitimate, and they're just trying to tell us in the best way they know how without putting us into panic and pandemonium. The process of indoctrination or information keeps coming at us weekly. Our televisions are filled with the occult, UFO, paranormal information, and people are beginning to delight in it. Some people like it very much. I have friends who are just sold out to watching the program called X-Files. And I think I watched the first two or three series and lost interest in it. But many people really think it's a great program. And it indoctrinates people very, very cleverly. And if this is what they're doing, they're succeeding in making people believe and begin to think about the possibility of UFOs. Pastor Gary is going to come and share a couple thoughts on what he thinks about what we've talked about up this far and up to this point, and perhaps direct us in a different direction or something on other issues. We're going to try to cover several topics tonight, but if we find one you want to stay on and talk about, we'll do that, but we're going to move on into many other issues that we have ready for you this evening.
Not only individuals like Gordon Cooper have seen UFOs, we have had reports of presidents that have testified about sighting UFOs, from Jimmy Carter to President Reagan, and many others of prominence who have testified that they have seen UFOs. There are literally millions of people who have come in contact and seen UFOs. There's something going on. Now, my interpretation of this is that this is the operation of the demonic. Dr. David Alan Lewis, in his book on UFOs, and when he investigated people contacting or having the contact of the third kind, as it's called, that in each instance that he investigated, the people had some tie or some way were tied to the occult. And I think it's important to realize that this is not beyond the scope of Satan's power to invent or make spacecraft and perpetrate this type of delusion on the people.
Amen. One of the other areas that we would naturally ask, okay, people are coming in contact with these beings and they claim they have a message for us. On a recent sightings program, they did a little segment on what some of the messages were and are for us to consider. And it's amazing how it parallels even our own scriptures. But I can assure you, having worked among these people, and I've come to know many of them personally, as they are the ones that appear on these programs, and they are very much New Age in their thinking, and they believe in Jesus Christ, but not in the way that he is Lord of their life. And I just think that they're being used very cleverly now to make us begin to think along the Matthew 24 and Luke 21 chapters where it talks about the end of the age. But their message runs parallel to that, but they have some deviations that take people away from the finished work of Jesus Christ. Listen to what this little clip, about a 2.5-minute clip from sightings on what the people that are being abducted have to say about this issue.
The most controversial subject we investigate on sightings is alien abduction. More and more seemingly credible people are coming forward, claiming that they've been abducted, probed, and manipulated by aliens. And now there's a new pattern developing. Supposed abductees are returning from their experiences with a cautionary message for us all. There's a new, frightening chapter in the abduction story. Many abductees are claiming that their alien captors send them home with apocalyptic predictions about life on Earth. It's a terrifying conclusion to an already horrible ordeal.
We are told that the human experience, the human race, as we have known it, is becoming or soon to be non-viable, not extinct. It can't survive. My own sense of it, and this is purely speculative, is that we are also being given a choice to change our ways. In other words, we were here to shepherd or steward the earth, or be responsible for a higher consciousness, and what we've become so far from the Creator, so distant from the source, that we have treated the earth like it was our property, and we are apparently a malignancy at a cosmic level now.
The message is, wake up, grow up. The sandbox that you're littering is not your own. That you are not alone. That you don't need to feel the sense of isolation and separation that you have felt. That you're part of a bigger community.
According to a recent Roper poll, one in 50 American adults exhibits at least 4 out of the 5 most common symptoms reported by alien abductees. That's a staggering statistic, because it seems to indicate that 2% of our adult population is experiencing something for which no one has a conclusive explanation.
Okay, that's just another tidbit of information that talks about this subject, and it continues on in the abduction line. And one of the things I want to point out is how it's beginning to affect people in the religious community. I want to read a little segment here concerning a lady that believes she's been abducted and how the abduction scenario has changed her views on religion. And this is why we feel, or at least I feel I'm here, because I feel that the people that I have dealt with in the last 25 years, and I've met several, that believe that they are at least Christian in name, and they believe in Christ, but it's amazing what happens whenever they begin to have the abduction, or they become aware of the abduction phenomena and how it begins to alter their belief system. Listen to what Catherine Wilson has to say from her book, The Alien Jigsaw. She says this: like many other people who claim ancient contact, Wilson says her beliefs about religion and spirituality, as well as her impressions of her alien visitors, have changed a great deal over time. She describes some of these changes in a new paper titled How My Beliefs Have Changed, and it was posted on her website, and here's what some of the things she says. Wilson says she had a fairly conventional Protestant religious upbringing, getting confirmed in the Lutheran Church at the age of 13. She says, I went to church every Sunday until I was 18 years old, and she says this, listen closely, and I don't remember ever leaving church feeling good about myself or life in general. I was made to feel guilty rather than hopeful and uplifted, she writes. So she basically said the message from the church was, you're a guilty, no good individual, and you need to repent, and she did not like it at all. And so she found that when she came in contact with these creatures, that they began to tell her that she didn't need that type of a system. And she goes on, she said, only years later did she come to believe that the yellow light that she had been experiencing was a manifestation of alien activity. But while home in Pensacola, at the very time the yellow light began appearing, Wilson started to attend a fundamentalist church, hoping for understanding of the terrifying encounters. She asked members of the church for guidance. They told her that the light was the spirit of Jesus trying to protect her from Satan. But Wilson didn't think so. Members of the church urged her to quit school and renounce her family. She says, I realized these people were dangerous, she says, and again, organized religion had failed her. And she just goes on and begins to say that the church that she was acquainted with just did not step in and come up with any answers that edified her in any way. And I have found in my travels, as I've interviewed people out west extensively in some cases, and these people claim to be from a fundamentalist background, believe in Jesus Christ, and they believe that they have been abducted by aliens, they have been probed, they have been sexually molested, they have been told that our King James Version of the Bible, along with many other versions of the Bible, are incorrect, that the church has kept the truth from us, that they have a new revelation for us to consider, and that that we can evolve to a higher state of consciousness, and the reason Jesus died was so that we could do that. And they present some revelations that were shared with them through this angelic contact, and it contradicts many of the fundamental themes of Christianity. And so in light of that, these people were turned off by the church whenever the church told them that they were evil, and very quickly wrote them off and told them, don't bother coming back until you get your head screwed on right. And so that's just as plain as the way they put it to me, and I was surprised to find out that they were actually somewhat on the mark on some of it. The church has not been willing to take the time to get involved and get into the data and begin to analyze it and take a biblical perspective on it and take tender, loving mercy and grace and go to these people and listen to them and share the Word of God with them in a more correct manner, and hope that the Word in itself will set them free from this captivity that they have been brought into by these fallen angels of light that God refers to, that Satan himself can appear as an angel of light. And many of these manifestations are just that. So that we need to address, and what we're trying to do is raise the awareness, as I pointed out, that UFOs are real, apparently. UFO abductions are real. The message is being altered by these individuals. The belief systems are being altered. And it's not just a few people. It's literally thousands of people that have had this experience. So with that, I'm going to ask Pastor Gary to jump back in here and make comment on anything he's thought of up to this time. And we invite you to call us at 448-5061 if you're out of the area, 1-330-448-5061. We invite our friends in Warren to get back on with us again and jump in and share your different viewpoints. I know it's a long-distance call, but a three-minute call, that's nothing. It won't cost you that much at all. My engineer's shaking his head saying, no, don't worry about it, call. It's not a long-distance call. I thought it was. Well, anyway, call us at 448-5061. It's a free call. Not too many times you get something free. You can have a free opportunity to be on with us. Okay. It's an extended local call. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Ron. Here's Pastor Gary.
Well, the question that you raised, are abductions real? Or are UFO abductions real? And let's look at it from the standpoint that this might be something demonic, that can the demonic cross over and have contact with human beings? Well, if we go back into the Old Testament, we see that man has had contact with the angelic in a number of different ways, whether it be the captain of the host of Israel, whether it be a pillar of fire or a cloud, or whether it be an angel appearing to Abraham or Jacob. We see different illustrations. Even in the New Testament, we see that Jesus coming face-to-face with Lucifer, Cornelius coming face-to-face with an angelic being. So there has been contact made with the angelic. Lucifer seems to be given more latitude in the last days, that the one that restrained is going to be taken out of the way, and Lucifer is going to have a free hand. Satan is going to have a free hand in this world to do seemingly what he wants. Possibly this is an explanation of this, Jim.
Amen, Pastor. So we invite your comment. We've talked about two subjects so far. Are UFOs real? Does the Bible allow for it? Are UFO abductions real? And another area we want to try to touch on while we're passing through this is many people are concerned about this new term that's been floated since the early 1990s, and that's New World Order. What's this about the New World Order? Why should we be concerned about a New World Order? Does the Bible have anything to say about a New World Order? Not in that terminology, but in chapter 12 and 13 of Revelations, it talks about a time when there will be a one-world government brought into play. Many people think that is being instituted right at this very moment, and that a number of key people in our government and other world governments are working, whether under the auspices of the UN or under the development of the European Union, to create a global world political power along with a global world economic power. And then they'll transform it even one step further and go into a one world religious power, which will be forced upon the people. And then that raises the question, what do you think? Will the church be here and have to deal with the New World Order or with the New World, One World Church order? What's your opinion on it? Do you have a response that you would like to share with us tonight by calling us at 448-5061? If you don't jump in here and call pretty soon, I'm going to have to push the mic back over to Pastor Gary, and he can really get deep, and I don't want to lose you before we get off the program. So what do you think about the New World Order? Listen to this short clip concerning Oliver North whenever he was before the Congress on the Iran-Contra event, and it talks about a secret plan that has been instituted by our political process, and here again, it may be legit, it may be necessary, but it's called, and they address the idea of continuity of government and what that means to the American people if that concept is implemented.
Colonel North, in your work at the NSC, were you not assigned at one time to work on plans for the continuity of government in the event of a major disaster?
Mr. Chairman.
I believe the question touches upon a highly sensitive and classified area, so may I request that you not touch upon that, sir?
I was particularly concerned, Mr. Chairman, because I read in Miami papers and several others that there had been a plan developed by that same agency, a contingency plan in the event of emergency that would suspend the American Constitution, and I was deeply concerned about it and wondered if that was the area in which he had worked.
I believe that it was.
May I most respectfully request that that matter not be touched upon at this stage. If we wish to get into this, I'm certain arrangements can be made for an executive session.
Okay, that's another short clip exposing the fact that there is and has been a plan for some years to implement, in the event of a national crisis, a continuity of government, which again may be legitimate. But many people feel that organizations like FEMA and some of the organizations that are used to assist us during crisis are being given phenomenal powers that if someone would come along and for some reason be able to justify a national crisis, they could basically do away with the Constitution of our country and implement all kinds of problems for us here that might not be in agreement with the direction that the policies of the leaders are performing. And so these individuals, such as Senator Brooks, was raising that because of what was going on in Iran-Contra. And regardless of what you believe about that, many people believe there was some very underhanded things that took place during that era, and that's what those discussions before the Congress were all about. And so anyway, this is a concern. On the back of our dollar bill, you will find in Latin, I am told, the terminology which simply means announcing the New World Order when you read it in the Latin format. And if you have that, that was put there, I understand, in 1933, 1935 by Henry Morgenthau Jr. and Henry Wallace implemented that piece of writing on the back of our dollar bill. And here again, many of people that are into the conspiracy concepts believe that there has been an ongoing agenda to bring the world into a one-world government. Many people believe that GATT and NAFTA and all the different moves that are being made to unite the northern and southern hemispheres of this world along with the eastern and western, and that setting up a global economy that is designed to be a benefit to all mankind. And again, most of us would say there is nothing wrong with that. As long as it's being done, and for the reasons it's being done, so everybody would say it's only fair that poorer nations should be allowed to share in the prosperity that we have enjoyed great privilege to for many decades now. But in light of that, we begin to see many new rules are being implemented. There is a new world constitution that has been implemented and ready to kick into play whenever the right time comes along. Most people don't know about that. That has been developed by the UN. Most people have forgot that the UN is still very much controlled by people who have a socialistic or communistic mentality. In many cases, there are dictators working in that light. And for some reason, we think that the enemy, the communistic ideas and the socialistic ideas have died and somehow capitalism and democracy has succeeded. And far from the truth, when you get into it, these individuals are still very much alive and still very much have goals that might seem good. Many of the things that Stalin and Hitler said initially when they started out sounded good, but whenever they came into power, they became corrupted by that power, and we know what the results and outcome of that was. So do you have a response to the New World Order? Are you concerned about it? Should you be concerned about it? Let's consider the rapture. Are you going to be here? Do you need to be concerned about the tribulation period? Do you think you're going to go through the tribulation period? Do you think you're going to go through part of the tribulation period? Do you think it matters? What about the mark of the beast? What is it? Do you have any idea what the mark of the beast is? Is it got something to do with the computers of our land? We're told that within the computer system, the number 666 shows up constantly. I brought up in our last week's program, I believe it was, that I believe very possibly that genetic engineering and cloning could lead to a marking system that would need to be implemented to keep mankind under the control of some sovereign state and using the technology that we now have available to us. I brought out in last week's program, I believe that they now have a computer chip that they can implant into the brain, a wafer, and they can download computer information into that and change and alter the behavior of mankind. Many people feel that that would be a good deal in light of some of the chaos that we see in other portions of our world. So what's your response up to this point? Do you believe that any of this stuff is relevant? Do you think that we should even be bothering with it? Do you believe that the Bible deals with these issues, was intended to deal with these things. What can a person do? If this stuff is all satanically inspired, what can a Christian do? What can a person do to contend against it? What tools do we have available to us to deal with these issues? Do you have a response? Come on, Christians, how about it? What would you do if you were approached today with the truth that there were life forms coming from outer space and they told you that your whole belief system was wrong? Most people would think that could never happen. And those are the people that I am concerned about. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it talks about a day because people refuse to believe the truth that God has presented to them concerning his creation, the fall of man, and the redemption package that he has implemented for man, that because of the events of the end of the age, that people would fall away because what was going to happen would be so contradictory to everything that they believe. And it says that the scripture says that if it were possible, it would deceive the very elect, which implies it's not possible, but it does say there'll be a great falling away. So to fall away, you have to be a part of a system, a belief system, that one time that honored and believed the presentation that the apostles and the prophets have shared with us. So what's your reaction to that? Do you think that that we need to be concerned about it? Do you feel that the church is going to be here during the tribulation? Or is the wrath of God only intended for the end of the age people? What about the people that died 200 years ago? What about the people that died 500 years ago? And they went out without knowing Jesus Christ as Savior. When are they going to have the wrath of God poured out upon them? What's your response to that? Do you believe that the reason that God would never pour out his wrath on his church? Well, what is it only for the end of the age people, this wrath that we're talking about, or is it for... Is there a place where the wrath of God will be poured out upon all people, and does the Bible disclose where that place is, the wrath of God? Can God, according to Peter, protect his people during the times of his outpouring of wrath? Can he keep his people safe during those kind of periods? Can he protect us at the same time be pouring out his wrath on other people? What's your response to that? I know there are popular viewpoints on that, but I think we need to begin to discuss those issues. And with that, I'm going to back out and let Pastor Gary come and do biblical commentary at this time. If you have a comment that you would like to make on what we've studied up to this point, we invite you to participate and call us at 448-5061. If you're out of the area, 1-330-448-5061. And while we'll add just one other question to it for you to consider. And do you believe that the government has a plan to deal with the aliens, that they're real? Do you believe that the government has a plan and that they're able to protect us from these so-called creatures that are coming from outer space?
Well, Jim, I believe the Bible has a plan also, and the Bible does believe with some of these contingencies. But for Christians that are being bothered by different manifestations of the enemy coming against them, we have always combated the enemy. Well, the Lord told us that Satan's come down like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, and that he has come to sift us. This is what the Word tells us. In Revelation, the 12th chapter, the 11th verse, we read, "And they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth, and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time." What if we're approaching that time and God is unleashing Satan a little bit at a time and giving him a little more latitude and leeway to do what he wants to do, to influence people, to draw them away? We still use the word of God to combat Satan. It's still the same. The scripture tells us to study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman rightly dividing the word. And friends, the word of God is our sword. It's the sword of the Spirit. It is the word of God that combats the enemy. When Satan confronted Jesus with those temptations in the wilderness, every time Jesus came back, "It is written," and he told him, "Get thee hence." And that's what the child of God needs to do today. In 1 John, the 4th chapter, John writes that, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." There are people that have had some supernatural experience or celestial experience, as they call it, with some type of beings, and they're saying, well, these are good creatures, they're kind, they're gentle, but we need to put the test of the Word of God to see whether they are of God or whether they are not of God. What is their doctrine? What is their belief about the Word of God and about Jesus Christ? This is the way we try the spirits. It's important, friends, that we do this today. More than ever, the Apostle Paul told the Galatians that if an angel would come preaching another gospel, let him be accursed. I just wonder that perhaps the Apostle Paul knew something that we don't, that in the last days there would be some type of angelic being or demonic spirit that would come as an angel of light and preach another gospel. Friends, this is what's happening today. The Word of God is being undermined. It's being rewritten by theologians, people that claim to be Christians. And we at the grassroots level need to latch onto the Word of God. We need to get into the Word and try the Word and make sure that the people that are over us are in the Word too.
Amen, brother. That's good preaching. I told you he can get cranked up. You got to put a leash on him once in a while, keep him under control. But I agree with everything he said, and I thank God for this brother. Very few men have been willing to stick their neck out and come into this community, and I really appreciate Pastor Gary Roy. And I trust you will, too, and I invite you at this time. If you're not going to church anywhere and you're longing for a fellowship and you're longing for love and you want to simply become a part of a Bible-believing family, why don't you attend the First Assembly of God in Vianna, Ohio? What's the address, Gary, there? 5000 Warren Sharon Road. And come join us on Sunday mornings at 9:30 for our Sunday school class, and then I think it's at 10:30 for our Sunday morning worship. Sunday evenings is 6:30, 6 o'clock Sunday evening, and 6:30 Wednesday. So we invite you to come and be with us. We are a growing body. We are a body that believes and loves people. We want to help you with your needs. We care. We want you to know we care, and we want you to be encouraged and edified. We are dealing with some pretty dismal subjects here. We realize that. But this isn't the end of the message. There's a message of hope. There's a message of assurance. There's a message of deliverance. There's a message of love that's being preached along with this that we don't necessarily have the time to always present here on the radio, because we're trying to raise the awareness on these issues and validate that some of these claims are legitimately real. One of the other areas that is a really special concern of mine, as I have pointed out, is the mark of the beast. No one really knows what it is. All we know is there's a number associated with it. I tend to believe that the number 6, as St. Augustine pointed out, represents a perfect number. When you get into numerology, and God does apply numbers in the way that he does things, and the number 6 is considered a perfect number. But the number 6 of Revelations is the mark of a man, the 6 of a man, and it's very possible that genetic engineering could be implemented in some way, whether it's artificial implants or some way of altering the blood, the genetic makeup of the blood, to where they can begin to control and modify behavior, to where they can actually, in what they consider, improve the body, the soul, and the spirit of mankind, remains to be seen. Or it could be something just simply with the computer systems, to where we won't be able to buy or sell unless we have some kind of a mark that allows us to go out into the marketplace. What we're trying to do is leave no stone unturned on this thing, and we ask you to listen and consider and be a part of that. I want to turn to a short clip after I read this little segment. Most of you have heard about the scientist who wants to clone humans. Friends, it's not very far up the road. And here's what this Washington AP article says. It says, Chicago physicist Richard Seed shrugged off President Clinton's denunciation of his plan to clone humans and reaffirmed his determination Sunday to do it abroad if necessary. Seed said he had received an outpouring of support from infertile couples. I have been enormously encouraged in just one day by calls I have received from infertile couples who are in tears, Seed said on a Fox News Sunday. They tell me things like, don't let them stop you. Seed stood firm in his resolve to clone a child within the next 2 years, saying he would move his enterprise offshore to Tijuana if Congress bans human cloning in the United States. So with that, we're going to pause on the next clip and take a short phone call. So we're going to say hello and welcome you on board.
Hi, how are you gentlemen this evening?
Good, how about yourself?
Good, I was just traveling down the road and was listening to your show, and I just want to call and support you guys. A lot of what you're talking about, I've been studied upon for quite a few years.
Uh-huh.
In fact, even before I became a born-again Christian, finding a lot of this information, I think the Lord started speaking to my heart and led me back to him.
What do you feel is the relevant issue in what you've studied? What issue stands out to you?
Well, one of the big ones is how I learned about a lot of this is I've been into the shooting sports with firearms for quite a few years, and everything that's been going on the last few years with gun control and this administration, and I started coming across materials with the UN and their push to disarm everybody and the one world government and one world army and everything like that. And then, of course, the chip. I have an older brother who's in industrial electronics sales for years, and he's told me about the chip. He's very aware of it. In fact, I own horses, and they're pushing that really big in the animal industry right now, is using the chip to live on the street to keep track of them. So, you know, it's just one step at a time.
Have you heard that the military is testing these chips?
Yes, I have. They're already, with the military, I've heard, you know, they've already switched to an electronic card, and I think that's just the next step. Same thing with how we're heading for a cashless society. We got the debit card now, which is being pushed really heavy, and the next step is, you know, is to get rid of cash, and then with the debit card, people lose their card, so what's the next easiest step is just to insert this microchip, which can be scanned. And I think that is the mark.
Are you aware that the technology is available now that they can actually inject a chip into military or anybody, that they could inject it without your knowledge?
Oh, I imagine they could. I imagine they could. It makes me wonder without trying to sound too paranoid about, you know, how they push for immunization to children and how they want to give the shots away through the federal government. And, you know, there's a possibility they could inject it right with the immunization shots.
Well, there's been information coming out recently that some of our military it's mandatory now that they have this implantation of a chip that has all the data on them concerning all their medical and financial records, and that they're experimenting on different groups of military groups on the West Coast, and it's a mandatory thing now. So that hasn't been confirmed in a legitimate sense, but it's something that's being floated, and many people that claim that they have family members in the military claim that on one case it's voluntary, on the other case it's being forced on them. So the issue is already being considered because it's very convenient to put that on military people in the event of their death. It makes it much easier to scan that and find out what they need to know about the remains.
Right, exactly. Well, I saw on, I think it was the Discovery Channel, where they have the Beyond 2000 high technology show, where they showed a dog tag that was like that.
Mm-hmm.
Where it could just be scanned and had all the information.
So
I imagine, you know, the chip is the next step, which they're probably already there.
Many people are concerned about this, and we realize that we can overreact to as many times as we as Christians, and it's because we have the Word of God. We have a point of reference that gives us red flags whenever things like this happen, and so naturally we respond to it and try to make people aware of it. And we appreciate the fact that you're concerned about the New World Order type material. It's something that's going to happen. Bible prophecy says it's coming, but Christ is going to be in control of that whole event, and we, the body, will be kept by his power, even though some of us may end up having to stand up and lay our lives down and glorify our Father through some means of death that may await us because we refuse to go along with the system.
Right, I fully believe that. I used to be scared to death. The more information I used to come across about all this, but since I've become a born-again Christian, the Lord has just put the comfort in my heart, and I actually look forward to it because I feel we're in the end times, and I know I'm going to go to a much better place than where we're at now, so I know we have to go through these things. I just pray that you're talking about the tribulation, if the church will be raptured before or after. I'm praying that it'll be raptured before it. And also with the alien agenda, I think that is going to come into play. In my opinion, what is the better reason, if the church gets raptured and all the Christians gets raptured, we all disappear, what is going to be the reason that's going to be explained for it? Maybe the alien agenda.
So your message...
The aliens beamed us up, but don't worry. You know, we've got it under control. We've been in contact with them for years or blah, 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 you know?
And that seems to be the consensus among most Christians, that if there is a rapture, a pre-tribulation rapture, that the world powers will use that to unite the world against an alien invasion. And that's a real possibility. The other option would be that they're going to come and tell us that we have an incorrect understanding on history, and that would have a phenomenal traumatic effect upon believers, just as it did in the early church when they were told that the rapture had already taken place and then some of them had missed it. Paul says it overthrew the faith of some. And I'm concerned that we need to be careful not that we don't overstate the pre and forget the fact that we may have to end up dealing with some of the tribulation material ourselves.
Right. Well, I'm ready for it if I have to, because I've got the Lord on my side and I know he'll get me through it no matter what. But I hope everybody else out there just keeps their eyes open. And, you know, the more you watch TV, the more people are being conditioned for this type of thing. All you see is alien movies and programs on all the time now.
Okay, well, we appreciate the call. As you can see, we've run out of time. We encourage you to call back next week. We're going to have Bob Teach with us, author of UFOs and Mental Health. We're going to interview him from West Virginia. I guess you won't be able to call on that, but you can listen. And we just invite you and all of our friends to join us at that time. I'm going to give our address, and we're going to get ready to leave this evening. But we thank you so much for calling and sharing your thoughts on that with us.
Okay, thank you.
Have a good evening.
Good work.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
So with that, I'm going to basically say that our email address is ufosd@infonline.net if you want to share information with us or ask questions. And if you want to contact us by mail, you can do so by writing us at Issues and Answers, Post Office Box 432, Brookfield, Ohio 44403. With that, we're going to say goodnight. We encourage you to attend the church of your choice. If you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, know this. He loves you and he cares about all your needs. No one can help you like Jesus. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye. AM 1470 WPAO, Farrell, Youngstown.